Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We're going to talk about childhood cancer, and there are a whole lot of options if your family finds yourself in that situation. And we've got a great show this morning, and we'll introduce you to everybody in just a second. Dr. Christina Wiedel is here, an oncologist with Children's National, also with Children's National in Fredericksburg. This was your idea, this show. This summer we were talking after we had done a show, and you talked about wanting to get everybody together. This was a great, I wish I had thought of this. This was a great idea.
Well, Ted, I think you kind of did think of it.
Because when we were talking a year ago about your story and the area and the needs in the area and as we're building in the area, we talked about how there's such this incredible community partnership here. There's so many people that have risen up to provide support for our area families. And so here we are, year later. And I'm so excited that we are here to talk about the expansion of services and how we're building support for all of the area families. It's amazing. And the partnership is so incredible.
This is so great because my son was diagnosed in 2000. And Susan Lindsay's here from ASK. And at that time, ASK was just in the Richmond area. And ASK was just a godsend for us because it provided our son and our family with just a lot of fun events. Welcome, Susan. It's good to have you here. I'll let you start off and just talk about what ASK does and introduce people to the work of ASK because I actually use some of the services. And we were just before we went on the air, you and I were talking just about a number of things that ASK still does. The Christmas party was always our favorite.
Yeah, that's coming up. We still do it. So ASK Childhood Cancer Foundation is 47 years old, and we provide kind of three pillars of wraparound services for families, patients and families that have a childhood cancer diagnosis who are going through treatment and then into survivorship also. So we do family support, which includes financial assistance. We do educational support because 2/3 of childhood cancer survivors have some sort of late effects from their treatment. Could be cognitive, physical, or social, emotional. And then we also provide community and connection because, as you know, Ted, a childhood cancer diagnosis is really isolating for families. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to provide opportunities for families to connect and meet each other. Everybody's journey through it is unique, but there's similarities. And so it's, I think it's really important. And with the pandemic, families are not connecting in the clinic like they used to because of COVID protocols. So I think it's even more important now.
It was because when we started it, we didn't know anybody. And we ended up meeting a family in Stafford. We ended up meeting a family in Virginia Beach. And then a couple in the Richmond area that became really, as our kids even were growing up, after we were done with treatment, we became real good friends for a good long time. And that was a great thing that ASK did. It was some of these events that you'd meet them in a different place. You'd meet them at the zoo or something. And it became just a different way that you could meet people.
That's great to hear. And, you know, our philosophy is that kids with cancer are still kids first, you know, and so we want to provide opportunities where they can just be kids. They can go to the zoo. They can go to a Christmas party. And it's a, you know, safe environment, and they can meet other kids who are going through the same thing. And also important for siblings because, you know, a diagnosis and going through treatment can change a family dynamic because so much attention, of course, is on the child who's sick. And so it's important for siblings also to have the opportunity to meet other siblings who kind mm-hmm. of get it and understand what it's like.
So ASK was who I was who I knew about. And then a few years ago, I met Andy Ayers and Fairy Godmother Project. And I remember after you told me about Fairy Godmother Project, and I'll let you discuss it in just a second. But my first question to you was, where were you in 2000? That was, I just said,
I didn't even live here.
That was my, and so that it was exciting for me to meet you and know that that at that time, Fairy Godmother Project was providing what our family would have needed back then.
Yeah, well, we weren't here in 2000, but we started officially 10 years ago in 2012. And we believe that by supporting the parents, they can better support their families. So we try and help the caregivers with financial and emotional support through lots of different means, including support groups and paying bills and cleaning houses, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Now, it really does meet a lot of family needs, and yeah, all of these, all of you together, to me, it's really exciting that this is. And Dr. Weedle, this is what we talked about, that this is now available in this area, because this area was just kind of in between, and now there is stuff here.
Well, it's huge, and I think the thing is, Andy is really understating the impact that FGP has made on families, because I have to tell you, I have been in the midst of some pretty intense conversations with families in this area, and the family will say, oh, hang on one second, and they're like, somebody just delivered us groceries, somebody's come to clean our house, somebody's doing our yard work. It's the taking all of this effort off the family, because as we've talked about, life still has to go on, right? Although your world feels like it's stopped because your child is facing this horrible diagnosis, you still have bills to pay and a family to care for and
leaves to rake.
Yeah, and all of these things that just continue to go on. And so having somebody that comes in and says, let us take this off your plate so you can focus your energy on the things that only you can do in caring for your child and your family, that's huge. It's huge. And I think a huge part of it is that one of the beautiful things in this partnership is that FGP really builds their services as a wraparound service to support the family, to support the parents. And ASK does such amazing things to support the child and the siblings. And so it's this incredible partnership of supporting the entire family through this process. And so when ASK was so wonderful to come here and continue to expand services and provide a local education liaison, because as you can imagine, when you're already struggling with taking care of your child and taking care of all of the needs of your child, and then the child or the siblings are struggling in school, which is completely understandable.
Yeah.
Many children are struggling in school right now with everything that's happened with COVID, and then you add a cancer diagnosis to it. Telling families, we have services right here locally that you can have for your child and the siblings, that's huge.
We're going to take a quick break and continue on this conversation. Good stuff this morning. We're talking about cancer services for kids in this area, and more coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Council.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking cancer services for kids this morning with Andy Ayers with the Fairy Godmother Project. Susan Lindsay's here with Ask Childhood Cancer Foundation, and Dr. Christina Weedle, an oncologist with the Children's National. And also, we should mention, and to tie really ties into all this, you're with Children's National at Mary Washington Hospital, Mary Washington Healthcare, and that really ties things in too. Because as you and I have talked before, what you're able to do is keep families in the area more. They don't always have to go up to the hospital and lose a day or two.
Exactly. It's an amazing partnership between Children's National and Mary Washington Healthcare. And so with that, what we've been able to do is keep families local as much as possible. And so being able to provide new patient visits, follow-up visits, their line care, so port access, Hickman access, which is the central line that they have in their chest during treatment, blood draws, transfusions, IVIG, and continuing to gradually work on building more and more services for area families so that they can stay locally. Because previously, what would happen is that families would have to drive a minimum of an hour, and usually an hour to 2 hours, look for parking, go into clinic, wait to be seen, wait to get access, wait for their counts. It was at least a half day affair, and usually longer than that. And it was
pulling families away from the rest of the family, pulling kids out of school for longer and longer periods of time, and a huge upheaval. And now we can see kids locally, get their labs drawn, and get them back to school and the families back to life, which is huge.
Yeah, it really is. And I've observed that just from, it's such a change for the families that we serve, because in the past, they all were traveling. And every time I hear that one of them is seeing you, Christina, I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Because, and like one, I mentioned before, a good friend's child was diagnosed. And knowing things like she just has to go for a transfusion. She's dropped her kids off at the office because they've been volunteers for us for their whole lives. And they come and do crafts while she takes her daughter to get what she needs done. And it's an hour, 2 hours, but it's not 8 to 10 hours that she has to remove herself from her family, figure out what to do with her kids. I mean, it's just a completely different, the amount of stress that it alleviates for these families is just unbelievable, and financial burden. You know, that's what we established in the first place at Fairy Godmother Project, was we needed to alleviate the financial burden of leaving work, because many of them miss work, a lot of them have to change jobs, and having to drive, you know, at least an hour. And now so many of them still do some of that, but not nearly the amount that they did before. It's a huge blessing to these families. It's just amazing. Yeah.
And it's incredible. And I have to tell you, the team at Mary Washington has worked so hard to build these pediatric services. They, from the very beginning, they were willing to sit down and say, what do we need? What do the families need? They were really good at taking impact. One of the first times that Andy and I talked was sitting down with the team at Mary Washington saying, okay, this is the experience in the past. These are huge areas of need for families. This is what we need in the infusion center. This is what we need in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. We need a red badge algorithm, which is an algorithm that we use for kids with febrile neutropenia, because a fever in an oncology patient is a true medical emergency. Mm-hmm. And they sat down and listened. The Mary Washington team sat down and said, okay, tell us what we need. And we have worked to build those. We've worked to build care plans within their electronic medical record. We've worked to build algorithms for treatment for these different procedures, which has made a huge impact in being able to get kids in and treated quickly, and getting treated with PEDS-specific and PEDS oncology and hematology-specific algorithms, which is huge for impacting the care. And having that cooperation and that teamwork it's just fundamental to building this.
I know when we would be going down to Richmond sometimes, you always feared that you had taken the day off and that you would go down there, and then you'd sit down and then they would say, we can't, you know, his blood counts aren't high enough, you know, we'll see you, you know, next week or something. And your heart would just sink.
Well, and it's huge because it's all the coordination, right? You've planned your whole life.
Yeah.
You've taken off of work. You found childcare for your other kids. You've gone, and then you don't make counts. And then you've got to come back 5 days later, but you've got to go through this whole rigmarole again of getting everything set up again. And
hoping.
Yes. And it's just over and over again. So now you're down the street. Right. You can take your other kids to the bus, come to clinic, get your labs drawn. Yes, you make counts. No, you don't make counts. And you leave.
They can go back to school.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
huge.
All kinds
so
of things.
And so while this is what happens in oncology, is you learn that everything's written in pencil, right? Your plans are constantly changing. But being able to know that you can come and get counts done and be right there down the street, and if you don't make counts, okay, then you come back in a few days and make it. But you're not traveling huge
distance. Just think about that anxiety. You know, when you're like, anytime you're going north or south, you're like, oh, is there going to be traffic? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm going to give myself this much time. But imagine that on top of having to, and of course you can imagine it, Ted, because you've been there, but like having to be there by a certain appointment time, and then you hit traffic, and then you know, do I mm-hmm. pay for the, you know, whatever the pass is so that I can get up there faster? And just all of those logistics. Who do I bring in the car? I knew a mom when they would go up to Children's National, she would always bring an extra kid just so she had enough kids and so that she could
for
be in
HOVA.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, she was like, mm-hmm. I don't have a choice. Otherwise it takes me 2 to 3 times as long, you know?
Yeah.
And
never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was always her method, was bring an extra kid who then was missing whatever he or she was meant to be in at the time, mm-hmm. but she had to, mm-hmm. you know, it was the only way she saw like a straight line to Children's National.
Well, so. And then of course, as you mentioned with the COVID pandemic, not only did those relationships that built naturally in the waiting room. So Ted, I know you had this experience. You're sitting in the waiting room of clinic and you're meeting other families and you're building that support network.
Totally.
But then in COVID, all these restrictions went in place for being able to bring siblings and how many family members could come. So then parents are trying to figure out, not only are they traveling this far, but the schools are closed, the daycares are closed. How do you get treatment for your child?
Right.
It's an impossible situation for families to navigate. So now being able to have care locally, it makes a huge difference mm-hmm. in being able to make that burden a little bit less, a little bit less of a strain.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to ask a neighbor, right? I'm just going to be gone for 2 hours. But to be like, I might be gone for 8 to 10 hours. Can you watch my
and
four children?
And be in a totally different city.
Yeah, but it'll be fine. I'll see you later.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really just shifts everything in so many ways for the families.
Well, and the cost of gas.
I mean, my gosh.
It can't be understated, the savings for families not having to drive,
absolutely.
You know, to Northern Virginia or to Richmond mm-hmm. or to Charlottesville. Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It is huge. It's amazing.
And Susan, Ask For Us came in so much because in some of those long car rides or some of the long sitting in the waiting room, you would use a lot of times the next Ask activity from about the middle of October till Christmas. We would talk about the Christmas party. Or we would use these various things as, hey, guess what, you know, won't that be fun?
Something to look forward to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then you'll see your Ask friends mm-hmm. at
awesome.
This event.
Yeah. It was. That was just huge to be able to point to something. We can, you know, that's coming up. We can do that.
I think it's so important, I think, for all of us, cancer diagnosis or not, to have those things in our life that we're looking forward to, and that much more important when you're going through something so difficult. And we have after school, that's every Thursday here in Fredericksburg, and then we do quarterly social events. And in the summer, we do a week of summer camp in Fredericksburg. In partnership with Fredericksburg United Methodist Church, is so kind to let us use their space and to have somewhere that we can provide these services.
Now, when I heard you were here, I was so excited, and I should have brought because I do have I've got on one of my sport coats I still wear. I have an Ask pin with the the yellow
yes,
with the hand. I should have brought it. That I still have that, and I still wear it. And people will ask, and I'll say they were the organization that when John was sick meant so much.
That's great.
I wish we had been in Fredericksburg when you guys were going through treatment.
Us too.
I think so. As Ask has been able to expand, we fundraise here in Fredericksburg, and then the funds stay in Fredericksburg, which I think is really important. That you know this community is providing the support for us to be able to provide services here.
And the financial assistance as well, too, which is huge.
Yeah, I was so excited when I heard that you guys were adding that on because we do some of it, but any extra for these families is huge. You know, I always feel like we could do more, but you have to draw a line somewhere.
Well,
you know?
And Fairy Godmother Project has been such a great partner as we've expanded and offered services to make sure we're connecting with all families. So Ask historically has served families that are treated at Children's Hospital of Richmond because that's where we were started and that's where our mm-hmm. office is. And so it's, and also Dr. Weedle, to make sure that patients who are being treated at Children's National are also connected with us so that we can make sure we're serving all families in Fredericksburg.
Yeah, which is great. More services. I mean, it's the best. So good.
That's why this show to me is just so exciting because as you all talk, I just sit here and think there was nothing. There was nothing. I mean, and Ask was great, and we didn't mind making the trip to Richmond. But to have service locally is just such a game changer. And even when we did, was it Special Love, did a camp up in Winchester, and we did all of those kinds of things. But again, there was a lot of planning, and for the camp they would send a bus to Stafford to pick all the kids up, and they did things. But there are so many things now available in this area. That's what's so exciting to me.
Yeah, which is good because the numbers.
Unfortunately,
show that and you that's need it, right?
As I sit here and I think, you know, if we'd been doing this show if this were all 1999, I would have never, I wouldn't have had the same. We hadn't gone through it yet, but mm-hmm. but when you go through it, and it's funny after you go through it, you seem to all of a sudden you seem to see more situations and run into things that so many people unfortunately do.
Yeah,
the thing that I think that's so amazing with all this partnership and all this building in the area is that it's local community support.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the community that is supporting FGP and supporting Ask so that they can support our local families. So as people have been so generous, then FGP is able to be more generous in their services. Right. And ASC has now been able to expand and is now providing mm-hmm. financial assistance to help offset mortgage costs or rent costs or car payment costs. And that's huge because so many families can't continue to both parents work during treatment because somebody has to be the caretaker and somebody has to come to clinic. Even when clinics locally, still somebody has to bring them. Mm-hmm. So somebody has to be off of work.
Yeah.
And so having that local support to help families is just, it's huge.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of families who are financially stable before a diagnosis, but it can just be so financially devastating mm-hmm. Because someone has to stop working. Mm-hmm. And then we have families who were not financially stable before a diagnosis, and that is doubly devastating. Mm-hmm. So the financial assistance is so important, and it's great to have two organizations who can provide assistance because the need will, I think it's safe to say the need will always exceed what we are able to provide. Mm-hmm. But it is a help.
For sure.
I never even thought, but there was that and my wife took care of all of that, but just dealing with the insurance companies mm-hmm. on top of everything else we talk about. You mentioned that, Susan, that's a whole nother, you can spend big chunks of a day on the phone dealing with insurance companies through all this.
Yes, it's like a game you don't know the rules to.
Yeah, in words that you, and then you're dealing with Dr. Weedle talking about, you know, dealing with words and drugs that you've never heard of. And it is, it's just
it's a lot.
It is. We take a quick break. Susan Lindsay here from that Ask Childhood Cancer Foundation, askccf.org. The website there, Andy Ayers with the Fairy Godmother Project, fgpinfo.org, and Dr. Christina Weedle here, an oncologist with Children's National and Children's National at Fredericksburg. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finn.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning as we talk about cancer services for kids available in this area, and it really is growing. Dr. Christina Weedle here, an oncologist with Children's National and Children's National with Mary Washington Healthcare. Susan Lindsay is with the Ask Childhood Cancer Foundation. They are now in this region, and Andy Ayers with the Fairy Godmother Project also here this morning. So as far as we talked about events and stuff, and you've got a couple coming up, Susan.
We
with
do
ask.
Have a couple coming up. We have our donut run, which is a fundraiser, but a lot of families participate. It is this weekend, November 19th. It starts at 9 a.m. I think there is a shorter kids run that starts at
8:30. The donut run. My boys are a big fan of the donut run.
Yeah, so you run and then you get donuts. You get the donut holes at the water stops and then.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this is sounding better and better.
Yeah,
I mean. It sounds like the kids' version of a beer run, you know?
Yeah. It is really fun. So that's this weekend. And then our Christmas party is December 3rd. And it's at Lewis Ginter this year. It's a little bit different. So the last 2 years we did a drive-through because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And we said we just cannot do another drive-through. Like we want to be back to normal. So we're inching back to normal. So it's a walk-through, not a drive-through. So our goal is to keep our inside numbers down. We get about 600 families. So once an ask family, always an ask family. And people really take that to heart. And so every year we get more people, which is great that they come out. But that's a lot of people inside, especially when we have families on active treatment. And so so we'll walk through, get their gifts, their cookies and hot chocolate, and then they can go out into the gardens to enjoy the lights at Lewis Ginter.
That is interesting, though, because you're dealing with families in treatment, you do have to be careful.
We do, and we have, you know, it, We follow now the CDC's guidelines for the community levels. And so we, I mean, knock on wood, I don't even want to say it out loud, but in Richmond, we've been low for a few months now. If it's high, we mask. And if it's medium or low, then masks are optional. But we are very careful because we work with an immune compromised population. And so, of course, we want to be safe and we want families to feel like anytime they come to an ASK event, they can trust that we are paying attention to the COVID levels and being as safe as possible.
Yeah, I know, like when we did the ASK event at the bowling alley here this past fall, and it was very clear to the local families in Fredericksburg, this is a local event for you. This is for kids in treatment and survivorship children. And I think one of the things that's so powerful about that is you're surrounded by other families that get it. That the conversation that so many families have had to have during the pandemic of my child is immunocompromised and this is what it means and this is why I'm concerned about the risk, you don't have to have that conversation when you're surrounded by other families that get it. And that's huge.
Yeah, there was a family that came to that bowling event and the mom told me they hadn't done anything outside the house in really 2 years, which is a very long time to be with three kids, to be at home, because they were, I think, just the anxiety of, you know, on top of the cancer diagnosis of, you know, COVID and what that might mean for the child in treatment.
Wow. Well, and the fact that you were able to, even like for the Christmas party, to even do a drive-through and to continue on, because it's as hard as that was, just to be able to offer that.
And people came out. I mean, even though we have a family that drove all the way from Harrisonburg, kind of a one-off, who reached out to ask and said, there's nothing in our area. Can we please come to your events? Because we just need that connection. We were like, just to be clear, it's a drive-through. Like, you're not even getting out of your car. And they drove all the way from Harrisonburg. So just to feel like they were a part of a community that understood what they were going through.
I just remembered another ASK event, another thing that just came out of the blue and that for my son was really meaningful. And I hope you still do it. Or if not, you can say, well, we did that. And it was really meaningful. I think it was called Courageous Kids.
Oh, yeah, we do. We do still do that.
We went down and he got his picture taken and it was this big deal. And he was like on a poster or something.
Yeah, so families who would like to participate, it's for active treatment families.
Yeah.
They have professional photos taken of the child and the whole family, and then they agree for those photos to be used for Childhood Cancer Awareness Month in September as a way to educate the community on childhood cancer. And so we share them online, but we also, you know, on social media and other platforms. But we also do posters, and then the display is at Children's Hospital of Richmond for a week, at the Truist Building downtown in Richmond for a week, and then also the Children's Museum of Richmond for a week. And so if there are any places in Fredericksburg that you guys would like the display for a week.
Do the Children's Museum in Fredericksburg.
That's a great idea. And then it culminates with an unveiling of the display. We do a party at the Children's Museum in Richmond, and just to present all of the kids, and they get a framed photo that they've chosen. And it's just a great opportunity, again, for families to come together and meet each other. And we were really excited this year to have two Spanish-speaking families participate, because that it's a challenge to meet those families' needs when they don't speak English. And so for the first time, we were able to communicate with them, and we had an interpreter at the event so that those families were included and understood what was being said. And, you know, it's as we've talked about, going through a diagnosis and treatment is unbelievably difficult. And then you add on top of that, not being in your own country, not having family here, and not speaking the language. And we have quite a few families. We have about 30 ASK families and all that are Spanish as their primary language. And so that's an additional challenge for some of our families in our community.
Never even thought about that.
We do not have enrollment forms in Spanish and information on services in Spanish. And that is huge to be able to have that resource, because it's already challenging for families when you're working through an interpreter to explain all of the things that are happening in treatment. But then when you're trying to explain additional services to provide support and the forms aren't in English, they're even less likely to take advantage. So being able to provide information in their native language is huge.
It really is. And so we do have an enrollment form. We're working towards getting everything in Spanish. We actually have a bilingual employee starting on the 21st, which I'm so excited about. I'm currently the only one that speaks any Spanish in the office. And so I, like, our Christmas party enrollment is not in Spanish, but I will get on the phone and just sign people, talk to them and ask them the questions and sign them up. But we're super excited to have a bilingual employee starting who can take that on.
That's great.
There are so many layers to this, Dr. Weedle, that we just don't think about.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, though, that as things get added to. But just like when you mentioned, Susan, about somebody, you know, that's willing to come from Harrisonburg, that was us. If with some of these events, if, you know, we were willing, if we had to, and we did, we'd drive up to Winchester, or, you know, we would have gone anywhere to do some of these, to do some events, just to change the pace and give our family or our son something different to look forward to.
Right. That really speaks to the need. I think the people will put in so much effort to make that connection, whether it's driving an hour or an hour and a half to go to drive through an event, you know, and not even get out of their car. I think it also speaks to the history of ASK, which I find really interesting and impressive. So ASK is 47 years old, and for the first 30 years of ASK history, it was completely volunteer run, which I don't know of another organization like that. And I think it just speaks to the need that, you know, the group of parents and physicians that started ASK saw the need, that there was just this great need for support, and to have such passionate supporters for so long who did it just because there was a need.
Is the logo still a hand?
It is.
Okay.
It's still a hand.
Yeah. I always wanted.
Pin is still relevant.
Yes. Oh, it is. Yeah. I did. Yeah. No. I wish I would have brought that in today to show you from all those years ago. Cancer services for kids are our focus this morning. Pediatric hospice, Dr. Weedle, is something that I didn't know about until just recently, and it kind of takes your breath away to think about that. But that obviously is a service that is needed.
Yeah, it's a really hard conversation to even have, and to think about it is just gut-wrenching. But when you think about how we're working to build local services and we're trying to make families drive less and less and less for care, and then you think about the heart-wrenching situation of when your child is facing a diagnosis that you know is unfortunately going to end their life, having families be in a situation where, again, they have to travel is so impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, talking to the amazing partnership in this area, there is so many groups in the area that are so invested in building pediatric hospice services in this area. And that's one of the things that Andy, when we first met and we first started talking, was just on her heart with such passion. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited about how she is just spearheading this and fighting for this for our local kids and our local families to get those services locally.
Yeah, it is on my heart. It's an interesting thing how it's like that thing that everyone's like, oh, I could never. But it's when I'm in that space with families, and because as an organization we help with, we offer to attend the intake meeting when they're going into hospice if they want us to, and take notes and just be present with them, mm-hmm. and then offer different supports along the way. It just is a space that I'm comfortable in, which I can't explain. You wouldn't think that would be a comfortable space, but...
You've been through it, though, more than most.
Right, yeah. And I think what it is that... And I've almost made it this whole show without crying, Ted. What it is that those families trust us in that time.
Yeah.
And it's such an honor to be trusted in the hardest thing that family will face. And to know, and it doesn't feel like pressure, you know, that they're trusting us. It feels like a gift that we can be this comforting person or space for them, to know that everything will be taken care of. We don't do the medical end, but we're there for errands. We're there for... really anything they need at that time, and then helping with the actual funeral planning and implementation of the funeral. We have planned and done multiple funerals through the years, and we have a partnership with a local funeral home that is very generous to our families, typically does the funerals at cost, and it's just the relief that I've seen on families' faces when they're sitting around a table and the panic of how they will pay to bury their child. And then I can say, hey, because of generosity in our community, we can pay this bill for you. We will write a check right now. And it's just such an honor and a gift to be able to do that. And I think the one piece that our community needs a little more of is just child, like pediatric focused hospice. There aren't, thankfully, tons of children dying all the time that warrant the need for this, you know, major program here, but there is still a need. And so kind of Christina certainly works on navigating that and trying to make those connections to help figure out how to get the best care for these families. Because pediatrics is different. And I remember years ago working with the director of hospice, and I said, he went to his nurses and said, how many of you are comfortable with pediatric hospice? And these were all hospice nurses. He said, one raised their hand. No one was comfortable with it. It's terrifying to people, even nurses and doctors, understandably. You know, watching an 80-year-old woman at the end of her life is very different than a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
It's just different.
But I have to say, Andy, you were so instrumental in connecting me with some of the local hospice services. And so we've had some really wonderful conversations with Mary Washington Hospice, and they are working very hard to build pediatric services and build pediatric resources, and with that incredible partnership with the PANDA team for Children National, mm-hmm. which is the palliative care and pain management team, and being able to support the local hospices so families can stay locally. So if they choose to stay locally, they don't have to be inpatient. And then with the Bonds of Course program with NOAA's Children, they have been incredible in not only providing services within the range to local families, but stretching in what they're providing local families and providing a resource for the local hospices as well, because pediatrics is so different than adult medicine. And so it's natural as we're building services that questions come up about how do you care for the siblings? How do you care for the parents? These are very different conversations. And having both NOAA's Children and PANDA be that incredible resource to be able to reach out to. We've done education programs. We're continuing to build that partnership. It's how we build the programs that are needed. And I think it speaks to that natural flow, right, of assessing where are we, what are the needs, and how do we build what is needed to care for our families locally. And I think if we continue to do that, if we continue to all have these conversations about where is the need and what do we have to do to really support these families, that we'll continue to have these partnerships grow. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Christina Wedel is here, an oncologist with Children's National and Children's National at Fredericksburg. Susan Lindsay with Ask the Childhood Cancer, the Ask Childhood Cancer Foundation, and Andy Ayers with the Fairy Godmother Project. We'll take one final break and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Cancer services for kids in the area. And we should say, as we have talked about ASK and the work of Fairy Godmother Project, Dr. Wedel, you're to be just really commended for not only sort of organizing these shows, but you have just, you work with your patients, and I mean, you want these kind of services in an area, and you collaborate and get people together. Thank you for your interest in this community that you have.
Well, Ted, you're so sweet, but I have to tell you, as you know, because you know many of these families, their energy is contagious. You just have to spend a couple minutes with any of these families that are local families that were driving for hours to know really soon, like real fast, we have a need here. We have a huge need here. And so many people are willing to work for that need. And I think one of the things that was so amazing is how this is all just kind of naturally coming together. So we were at an ASK event a couple months ago at the bowling alley, and one of the families that hadn't been out in quite a while
you could see that they were really struggling with their child being able to bowl. And so John from ASK is sitting next to me, and we're watching this, and I'm like, oh, this child like really, really has some neuropathy and really needs some physical therapy. I wonder if they know that Children's National has local physical therapy services. And then, touring the clinic.
So Dr. Weedle invited me up to tour the clinic, and I met the physical therapist, and they have their own little gym. It's such a great facility, and so the kids can get physical therapy right there in the clinic. And she was saying, I'd really love to organize, like, I kind of had this idea to do hikes to organize kids and get them outside and get them active. And I said, well, we talk about the same thing. You know, our program coordinator up here, John Longenecker, you know, is trying to get, we called it Active with ASK, off the ground to get, introduce kids to physical activity. Not strenuous, just moving your body, getting outside, kind of enjoying, you know, being in nature. And so it was just a natural partnership to connect Heather, the physical therapist, with John so that they can start planning for the spring.
You are great. Awesome.
Right?
You are really
she
awesome.
It's not her.
I know. Dr. Weedle is a connector.
Yeah,
she
really a connector.
Yeah. That's how this show happened, but
well,
yeah.
But there's so many people out there.
Right.
Like, it's just.
And you find
time,
all of them.
Well, every time you meet somebody and they start talking about, like, what they do and what they're interested in, you're like,
we
have a need here. Yeah. And there's just so many people that are so invested in building that it's just, it keeps coming together. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you. Oh, since the last time we talked, one of our big areas of need was being able to do peripheral lab draws.
Yeah, you talked about that.
Don't have a central line. So a local donor, two local donors, husband and wife, came out and bought us main finders, which is very expensive, let me tell you, but so that we could make it much easier for kids that have to get lab draws in clinic.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
This whole show is amazing. Just because, like I say, 15, 20 years ago, this show doesn't happen. You and I talk about how difficult it is, but instead, we're talking about all these different services that are available in this area. It's great.
And it's really thanks to the Fredericksburg community for supporting our organizations.
Mm-hmm, so true.
I mean,
yeah.
that's the only way we're able to provide these services.
Yeah, it's huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all for what you do. Because there is just, it's just terrific. And thank you. Thank you so much. Andy Ayers with the Fairy Godmother Project, fgpinfo.org. And they provide such great services for kids, along with Susan Lindsay and Ask Childhood Cancer Foundation. The website there is askccf.org. And Dr. Christina Weedle, sort of the conductor of this whole thing. Thank you for, again, what you provide the community. You really are a rock star in all of this, and you have pulled a lot of things together in a lot of groups, and the community has followed along, and can't wait to talk about this more in the next year and about the increased services.
Thank you, and thank you, Ted, so much for spreading the word.
It's good stuff. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.